How we doing? It is another episode of Mindset Matters. I'm your host, Jimmy Everts. I am joined by my friend, colleague, realtor extraordinaire, Dan Gomer at eXp Realty, the Dan's home team.
Yes, sir.
I get it every time I find a way.
It's a mouthful. Dan's home team.
Yeah. the easier, the more I can't say, you know, yeah. And I tease my wife, her accent. So Dan, thank you so much for joining me today. And,
Thanks for having me.
Heck yeah. Yeah. So I love starting every podcast with the toughest question you're going to get all day. So Dan Gomer, describe yourself as a kiddo. What kind of kid were you?
Well, I love that you start out that way, by the way, because like it or not, it still shapes who we are today, right?
Absolutely.
And we spend our whole life trying to fix it. So, describe who I was when I was younger at any age.
Oh yeah. I mean, just talk to me about what kind of kid you were. When you were in elementary school, what kind of kid was Dan?
Man.
What kind of trouble did you get into?
Very, very different. I was an angry kid, you know.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, I did not fit in well with my classmates. I didn't dress like anybody else. I didn't talk like everybody else. And you know, I grew up in the 80s, right?
Yeah,
and
same.
There was definitely a little bit more of, you know, there was the fights on the playground and all that kind of stuff.
Okay, right? You're a scrapper.
I was a scrapper, man. I had to, you know, anybody said anything to me that I didn't like, I was coming after you. You know, that's just how I rolled when I was younger. I obviously outgrew that and realized that there's better ways to live life. But yeah, man.
Where did you grow up?
I grew up in Arvada. Yeah, so I went to Pomona High School.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And so when you say that you didn't talk or dress like the other kids, and I can relate to that, other than I was the kid who probably got beat up, not as much, you know, I was great at defending myself with my face. Yeah. You know, talk me through that. What do you feel like you didn't connect?
Well, I've always had strong opinions, you know, and I wouldn't say that I was always throwing them out there, but, you know, if I disagreed with somebody, I wasn't afraid to say I disagree. And, you know, when you're growing up as a young kid and everybody's supposed to like the same things and fit in and do all of that, I had no problem rocking the boat.
I like it.
Like everything, it's a double-edged sword, right?
Fair.
And I definitely took my fair share of getting my butt kicked as well, right? You know, just from running my mouth. But, you know, ultimately, I wouldn't be where I am or who I am without that. You know, there was a long time where I wished that I could have fit in more and I wondered what was wrong with me and, you know, why couldn't I like get it, so to speak. But as I got older, I started to realize that, it's okay. It's okay to be different. And, you know, I was always true to myself. I always lived by a certain set of values, honesty and integrity and holding to my word and those things, those values that I still hold today. I was still living by those when I was a kid. You know, it just didn't really, just the way that I operated didn't really fit. But here's the thing too, is a lot of those things that you might've seen as like weaknesses when I was a kid are some of my strengths now, you know, like
I resonate with a lot of things you're saying.
Yeah.
Do you have siblings?
I do. I've got a brother, a sister, and two stepbrothers.
Okay.
Who I've known, you know, my parents got divorced. My dad got remarried when I was like 8. So I've known him.
Okay.
My whole life.
And in the 8, are you the oldest? You in the middle? Where are you in the pecking order?
So I'm the youngest of the 4 boys. And then I've got a younger sister. So I'm kind of the middle child, but kind of one of the younger ones. So
interesting.
I definitely have the middle child tendencies.
Okay.
The peacekeeper, right?
That's fair. What was your relationship like with your siblings as a kid? Did you do a lot together?
A little bit. Yeah. I mean, we'd go hunting and fishing and stuff like that. Me and my sister, a lot of times would get kind of shunned from the big brother club, right? They'd go off and do whatever they're doing.
Okay.
So it'd be me and my sister left over. And so we'd ride our bikes around and, you know, go sledding and that kind of thing. So I wouldn't say we were terribly close, but as we've gotten older, we've gotten, I would say, closer on a more fundamental level. Even though we spend less time together, we're closer.
Same.
Yeah,
I understand that. When you think about, and I don't know if it was getting into junior high or getting into high school, did you have early aspirations, inspirations, where there like a career path that you thought or something that you were interested in doing as, you know, like when I get out of high school, I'm going to do this?
Yeah. It was education. So I always wanted, ever since I was probably, man, I don't know, 11, 12, I wanted to be a teacher.
Okay.
In fact, when I was in seventh grade, I had a science teacher who I told her I wanted to be a teacher. And she was like, great, well, why don't you teach a class to your classmates? And I sat in her class all day and I taught a lesson five times in a row as if I was the teacher. And she helped me create it and all that. And it actually went really well.
That's very cool.
Yeah. So I always wanted to be a teacher. I became a middle school science teacher. I did that for 7 years. I coached high school basketball. I, you know, coached lots of youth sports and things like that. And that was always what I was supposed to do forever. But I got burned out in public education. It's just a grind. And so I decided I was going to leave public education. And it took me a long time to figure out what my next steps were. You know,
that's fair. And to ask, when you're a kid going to school and dealing with teachers and you're inspired to become a teacher, was that as much, you know, teachers that you enjoyed learning from, or, you know, is it a combination of enjoying learning from these teachers as well as, oh, I can do this better? What's that like?
I always tell people I love the art of teaching. I just hated the job, you know? So I've just always loved the art of teaching. I just have always had a knack of like, oh, okay, well, you don't understand this. All right, let me think about this. What about like this? If I explain it this way, does it make more sense? Oh, okay, that's working. All right, cool. Let's go over here. So I like that kind of puzzle of like, oh, you don't get it. Okay, let's figure out how
you learn.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so that's what I'm really passionate about. And so, you know, that was the one piece that I really didn't want to walk away from when I left education. But like I said, man, the job's a beat down.
I can only imagine that, I don't know, you hear about the politics or the bureaucracy or, yeah. I mean, do you get to a point where they're, my understanding, but not knowing, but my understanding is that you can't, even if it's valuable, that you're not necessarily in charge of what you can and cannot teach, like what, how much say you have there?
Yeah. So I don't know if this is true, but I always say that if I would have continued in education, it was only a matter of time before I got canned because, you know, they would want me to do all of these things that I thought were dumb, you know, hey, you got to fill out this paperwork and that paperwork. And I'm like, how about you just leave me alone and let me go teach my class? You know, I have the curriculum. I'm going to teach them that. Mm-hmm. And my class always performed really well. So, a lot of times I would kind of not do what they were asking me to do and ruffle feathers, right? Which is what I'm really good at apparently. And,
we're going to get along. We have a lot of similarities in this.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
And so it eventually got to the point where I was getting frustrated enough with the pressure of do it this way, do it that way. And, not really getting a lot of, support pushing back. And, mm-hmm. and this was also a time in Douglas County. I don't know if you know anything about Douglas County, but I don't want to go too far into the weeds, but
all good.
At that point, Douglas County was going through a major transition with the school board, and they were actually trying to dismantle the public education system in Douglas County and go private with the entire thing. And so it was a really crazy, hectic time. People were getting fired. It was just a really odd time. And I was like, you know, man, I can't deal with this stuff. I can't even pay my bills. I think I'm going to go get a job where I can.
Right. Not the highest paying job either.
And make money at the same time. That would be great.
That's fair. Now at that time, as you're teaching, coaching, doing these things, are you married by that point? Are you with your wife at that point?
Yep.
And so I would imagine your frustration is growing. Talk to me about the kind of the conversation at home as you're realizing this is happening and you're kind of yourself and your family working through next steps.
Yeah. So my son was born he was born in December of 2010. And then I bought my first fix and flip in June of 2011. So he was 6 months old. Before I made the trip or the switch, you know, he wasn't there yet, but, so the conversation was, you know, my wife is very supportive. She was like, hey, you know, you're not happy here. Let's figure out what's going to work better for you. I support you. What do you want to do? And And I eventually landed on real estate. I have a construction background. I framed houses, built decks and fences for a long time and stuff like
that.
So it made sense. So
hence the fix and flip exploration.
Exactly.
Okay. Yeah.
So I did that for about 3 years, 1 year unlicensed, 2 more years licensed, maybe 3 more years licensed. And, you know, had some good ones, had some bad ones. Ultimately you factor in cost of living and all of that. And I got my butt kicked doing fix and flips, you know. Ultimately I lost quite a bit of money and decided, you know what, I should probably just, you know, leverage my license to help other people buy and sell real estate. It's way less risky. It's more fun. I'm not dealing with contractors. And so I actually had to reinvent myself again after, you know, 3-4 years of being in real estate. I had to reinvent myself again, which brought a whole nother set of challenges. I didn't realize that when I went from being a fix and flipper to a real estate agent, that I was actually creating an entirely new company.
That's fair. I thought it'd be kind of a seamless shift.
Right.
And may I ask, how did you and your wife meet?
We met in college and, we were just dance partners. Like that was it. I was always hitting on her friends and like, she, you know, she always had a boyfriend and, you know,
we So she always had a boyfriend. It wasn't
And I usually had a girlfriend.
You're waiting.
Yeah.
That's fair.
So, we were just friends, you know, for a long time. And it wasn't until I graduated graduated college. I moved to Hawaii and I was supposed to stay there for a year. I was on Oahu. I could actually see Pearl Harbor from our back door.
Heck yeah.
And taught summer school out there. And it wasn't until I went to Hawaii that all of a sudden she started calling me more and we started kind of getting to know each other. And then when I came back,
we planned hard to get that whole time.
That's right.
Where'd you go to college?
UNC in Greeley.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So a couple of Greeley kids. Yeah. I like it. Okay. So the two of you, once you got back to Colorado, is that when you two started your paths together?
Once I came back, she was still here in Colorado. Once I came back from Hawaii, when we started dating and we got married shortly thereafter. So it was, you know, we could go into a rabbit hole on that one too. It's kind of one of those things. It's like the fact that it ever actually came to be is shocking just because there were so many opportunities where the wheels were coming off. Like,
You're
watching this on a movie. You're like, how are they going to put this together? Yeah, there's no way. This thing's screwed.
I love it. So you, and I also want to thank you for being transparent about your experience in fix and flips, because I also think that there are times where we work in an industry where people will share wins all day and they're not open to sharing when they've learned experiences in a harsher manner. Right. So you said you've now decided you're going to go into the residential side of the buying and selling of real estate. And you're balancing your husband, you're the father of a young child. And you have the one.
Yeah. So my son was born in 2010. And so then I left education and became a fix and flipper. Then right about the time that I decided I was going to be a real estate agent instead of a fix and flipper, my daughter was born.
Oh, it's even better.
So as soon as
you like throwing little wrinkles of challenge in there.
Let's make it as hard as we possibly can.
Okay. Yeah. So talk to me about, as you make this transition, and let's talk from obviously the professional side first. Talk to me about what those first, you know, year, 2 years going into the residential side, what did that look like?
Oh man, it was a beat down. You know, I mean, once again, I thought it would be pretty easy, right? I've been in real estate for 4 years. I tell all my friends, hey, I'm helping people buy and sell real estate. And they're going to be like, sweet. And I'm going to get my 20 sides in year one and it's going to be gravy, right?
Yeah.
And it just wasn't, you know, I mean, I actually had a buddy that bought a house in this neighborhood where I live that, I played basketball with him for like 10 years. And he shows up to the basketball game one day and he's like, hey man, I just bought a house in the backcountry. And I'm like, what? You didn't call me? And he's like, oh, dude, I found this lady on the internet. I didn't know
you
could help other people. And I'm like, so that was kind of my wake up call, you know? So it was slow going, man. I had to retrain everybody that I knew, because I always told them I'm an investor. I'm not a real estate agent. If you need to sell your house, don't talk to me.
Okay.
Which was obviously a misstep.
But that one that you do not know until you know.
Right. And so it was a number of years of just telling people what I actually do. And, it was really slow. And in fact, you know, and I talk about this in my book that I wrote, which is called I'm Full of It and So Are You. In that book, I kind of share a little bit about my story. You know, I've battled with depression for a long time throughout my life. A lot of it stems from just a lack of confidence, you know, that was really kind of baked in from those younger years.
And yeah, I can like respect that.
And, you know, it was the most challenging time of my life emotionally as I'm trying to make this transition. I now have two kids at home, bills are mounting. I had just lost, you know, nearly 200 grand in my fix and flip endeavor. And, now I'm trying to dig out of that hole and, man, it just felt like the weight of the world was on my shoulders. I didn't have any deals coming in.
There I can only imagine
on the forefront, you know, it's just like, holy shit, like talk about ultimate failure. And that really led me into my deepest, depression that I've ever been in. And, you know, really started thinking, you know, about taking my life and stuff like that. And I, you know, ultimately I remember there was one day I'm sitting on my bed where it all kind of came to a head and I've just got my head in my hands and I'm just, you know, like, I don't know what the hell I'm going to do. And, you know, call it God or divine intervention or whatever, but I heard something clear as day, as if someone was speaking it to me. That was just like, well, either do something about it or shut the fuck up and kill yourself. Like, what are you going to do?
Okay.
Shit or get off the pot. And I was like, you know what? I'm not going to leave my family. I'm not going to, you know, I'm not going to give in. I'm not going to quit. So, I really dug my heels in at that point. And I said, you know what, if nothing else, I'm going to prove to myself and all of the other people out there, whoever they are, the, you know, the faceless masses that I can actually be successful and I can actually create something and do something. And so that was kind of the beginning of where I really started to build a successful business. And I had a single pointed focus.
Ballpark for me when that was.
That was in 2015.
Okay.
Yeah.
And this is recorded, so I don't want to overstep. It's certainly something I can cut out. The fact that your wife works in the mental health space, how does that play into, and I'm almost asking this from a selfish standpoint as someone who has dealt with depression a lot in my life. Yeah. How is that helpful? Is that hurtful? How does that work?
Well, once again, my wife is really supportive, you know, and she's always kind of let me take my journey, but we talk a lot about humanity and what it means to be human and psychology. And we're both just really fascinated with that. And so, we spend a lot of time talking about this to this day. You know, we had a big conversation last night about some different stuff. So it's really good to have somebody who is, number one, not only knowledgeable about these things. She never psychoanalyzes me or says, "Well, you are now going into this." I would be like, shut up.
That's right. You know? Yeah.
But she understands what's going on and, she's open and
connecting on truly human level.
Right. And she's willing to grow. I'm willing to grow and that's really the key of the whole thing. And so whether or not she's a psychotherapist, I don't think that our conversations really changed much when she started going to school for that. Mm-hmm. You know, we were already kind of talking about this stuff to begin with.
Very interesting.
Yeah.
So you have this moment, you have this drive now and I love how you put it, that it was either, you know, because I think, again, you hear the one side of that coin. People will say, that was my moment when I realized I've got to do this. But you talk about the choice. So now you reach this point. Talk to me about what the next few months look like after that.
So I'd love to say that it was just, you know, unicorns and rainbows after that, right? But it's not. The one thing that changed in an instant, and I tell people this all the time, especially people on my team, is that things change in an instant. Like important things, they change in an instant. And the one thing that changed in an instant was I refuse to continue to have this conversation with myself in my head that I have the option of giving up. That's over.
Ah, that's good. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And so when I would run into a wall, instead of being like, oh, woe is me, poor baby, there's this easy out over here. That wasn't part of the conversation anymore. So now it was like, okay, well, this sucks. So what am I going to do about it? That's not an option. I have to figure it out. What's next?
You're burning the boat.
Yeah. And so that is when things really started to change, because I forced myself to find a solution. And so it was still hard. It was still tough. But when it was like, I don't feel like making my phone calls, there was this extra kick in the butt that was like, yeah, but what's the, you've been over there. You know, that doesn't work. So maybe you just go make your phone calls. How about that?
You know? What was your niche? Cause it sounds like you were plugged into a community. So it was a lot of, I say rebranding, we use that term too much, but you know, kind of recreating what people saw in you, that you weren't the investor, you know, you still had some investment savvy, but I mean, were you kind of going back to the same well in a different way, or were you really trying to build new wells? Were you digging new wells? Yeah.
I mean, that's a good question. I'm a sphere marketing guy. So it was all about building relationships with people. So I went out and started doing a lot of networking events and just connecting with people that I liked and building out those relationships. And then I play, you know, a lot of sports. At the time I was playing in 2 basketball leagues, a flag football league, 2 softball leagues, a volleyball league, you know, so I was like playing sports all the time. So I had a big community there, a community with my neighborhood. So I really just kind of got out and got to know people on a grassroots level, and just developed those relationships. And over time, you know, they know what I do.
Right.
They know that they like me. They know that they can trust me. And so over time, the business would begin to grow, and referral business began to grow. And so that's really how I built it out.
And knowing where you were coming from a mental health standpoint, was being around that energy and making these new connections, I would imagine that was also just extremely helpful to start just feeling better and getting these senses of accomplishment as it went.
Yeah. And you know, it's funny, right? We'll always find a problem. So the money problem started to go away. You know, we bought this house. It's a really nice house. The money started to come. But then a new problem began to arise, which is now I'm not present. Now I'm not here for my kids. They're starting to get a little bit older, and I'm stressed out. I'm frustrated that I'm working all the time. Right. So,
okay.
So if it's not one problem, it's the other. Right. And so now I'm in a place where I'm trying to figure out, okay, so how do I still make money, but not work incessantly, you know?
Right.
And so now it's a whole new adventure, right? A whole new journey that I'm working through right now, and I'm making some headway in it. But what I can say is from a mental health standpoint, it absolutely helped, because number one, I got the monkey off my back. I knew that I could be successful. I just hadn't proven it. Yeah. I'd finally
to yourself.
Right. And then I'd finally proven it. Great. You know, I knew that I could make more money than most people. Now I had proven it. Great. So I felt good. You know, there's a little bit of ego kicks in a little bit. And it's like, sweet, right on, man. Yeah. I did it. Yeah. Right. And then that kind of comes down and it's like, okay, great. Now what? So it definitely helped get me out of that space. There was no more, you know, I don't beat myself up like that anymore. I know what I'm capable of. I know if I set my mind to it, I can do it. I've proven it. So it definitely helps. But at the end of the day, it is a daily practice to work on mindset. You know, it's getting up, it's meditating, it's asking myself what I want every day. Why do I value that? What's important to me? What do I want to spend my time on? Giving myself the space to be angry or to be sad or to be happy or to be goofy, giving myself the space to do that and not trying to control it all the time. Like I woke up today just slow. There wasn't anything wrong. It was just freaking slow.
Yeah.
And I didn't know why. And at some point I had to just look at myself and go, this is just a slow morning. Yeah. All right. So this whole battle, we'll call it, that I fought for so much of my life ultimately led me to a place where I've discovered how to work through my shit.
It's huge.
And that's what it's all about, I think.
And I wanted to talk to you about, there's just a lot I resonate with in your story. I'm a new father. My daughter's a month old basically at the moment. So, you know, we hear, and this isn't just our industry, I think you hear all the time, the devotion someone puts to their craft and growing. And then there's some that have the idea that I'm going to do this now while my kids are young so that they can have everything. And kind of there's almost an avoidance of the time they're missing out on. And then there are so many that have that realization that there has to, we throw around balance too much, but that there has to be this balance. Talk to me about how that realization started to come to you. Was that conversations with the kids? Was it just events that you caught yourself missing?
Yeah. I mean, there was a time where, we were sitting around the dinner table, and I talk about this in my book as well. So I don't know the exact quote, but my daughter essentially was like, I was in my office all day. The kids would say goodbye to me in the morning. They would say hello really quick when they got home from school. I would come out for dinner. I'd go back into my office. And my daughter said something to the effect of, you know, I got up for dinner or whatever after dinner to go to my office. You know, my daughter was essentially like, oh, there goes daddy to his office. That's what he does. He works, you know? And I was just like,
how old was she?
Six.
Oh yeah.
You know,
right to the gut.
Right. And so it's just like, you know, I knew that was the case. And I also knew that I had to do it. You know, sometimes you just got to climb the mountain.
Yeah. Totally respect that.
You know?
Absolutely.
And so, but then I got to the point and I was like, okay, cool. I put the flag in the ground. Great. I did it. Okay. Now what? You know, is this what I want to continue to do? And I was looking at what I was building, and you and I were talking about this briefly before we started. I started looking at my real estate career, and by the end of 2020, I was like done. I was so burned out. So I said, you know what? I'm going to get out of real estate. I'm going to reinvent myself again, you know, and see what's next, you know? And so I started kind of working on an exit strategy to get out of real estate. And so I'm looking at speaking, and, you know, I wrote my book and I was working on another book and all that kind of stuff. I didn't see a clear path to get out. So I was still doing real estate, but, anyway, I was about to leave in 2022. It was going to be my last year. And then I found out about EXP, and EXP rejuvenated me and reinvigorated me, because like we were talking about at the beginning of this, I'm a teacher at heart. I love helping other people grow. That's just what I'm passionate about. It's been that way ever since I was a little kid. And EXP provides me an opportunity to be able to help people grow, build a team, build a community, and make a crap ton of money while I do it. And I was like, yes, you know, boom, let's go. And so I've kind of reinvented myself now again within EXP.
And I don't want to backtrack too far here. You mentioned 2020, this starts to come to mind. You're thinking about getting out. Mm-hmm. You're thinking the tail end of 21 going into 22 is going to be when you get out.
Yeah.
And those are also, I mean, two of the most monstrous years that, you know, most people have in the industry. And I'm assuming that you probably had, you know, decent years. So as that was going, is it safe to say that the decision was truly about a happiness shift, not about a monetary or business shift?
No, I took a monetary hit for sure. We ended up selling a bunch of assets and things like that to float the time, which, by the way, if you're thinking about investing in real estate, it's a hell of an investment, because, you know, I was making way less money, but I was able to continue to do that because we had assets.
Okay.
And I was able to liquidate some of those, and I was okay with that because I needed to figure out what I wanted to do. But,
interesting. Okay.
The whole point was just that I don't want to live my life that way. I don't want to live to work.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And I want to be present for my kids. I want to have more time. And, man, there's just, it's really hard to do that a lot of times in real estate.
Sure.
You know, if you're trying, and I'm a kind of guy that's like, if I'm going to do it, I'm kind of all in. And when you go all in real estate, man, it's a lot of work.
Oh, absolutely. That's a lot of work. And you can always find, I was going to say, it's one of those industries that, I mean, there will be as much work as you want to have. So, right. you know, if you want to work at 24 hours a day, you can work at 24 hours a day.
Right. So well, I needed to take a step back.
How did, so how did EXP come on the radar?
So Monica Graves was a friend of mine, managing broker, and we were supposed to teach a class together, and I just called her up one day. I'm like, hey, what's going on? Are we going to do this or what? You know? And she's like, well, so that's kind of how I heard about it. And once again, I went from, you know, I'm ready to leave real estate. And then one day I come home and I talk to my wife and I'm like, okay,
I changed my mind.
I had a talk with Monica. Wait for this, you know? And I start telling her about it. She's like, oh my God, this is brilliant. This is perfect. Like, go.
Okay.
And so I went from like total confusion. I don't know where I'm going to got it. Let's roll, you know?
Okay.
Yeah. And just totally lit a fire underneath me again. And now I've grown my team and our team, and I love it. I love it. There's still a lot of work to be done, you know? There's still the challenges that arise, but...
And so you'd mentioned Barry Overton from your time at Yourcastle. You knew Monica, obviously, your time at Yourcastle. Talk to me about how the three of you... And if I'm skipping ahead, forgive me. I mean, how did the three of you kind of come up with this idea to collaborate?
Yeah, so I've got my team, Dan's home team. I started that at my old brokerage. Monica had her own team. Barry had his own team. But Barry told Monica about EXP. Monica told me. And when I came over, I said, hey, if we're going to do this, we've got three people who are team leads, authors, mindset coaches, mentors. Like, if we're going to do this, why don't we kind of put our heads together and we'll keep our separate teams, but we'll all put it under one giant umbrella that we call the Super Agent Collaborative. So we each have our own individual teams, but we're all under one umbrella.
Who came up with the name?
I think I did.
I like it.
Yeah. And so, cause we're all about collaboration. That's truly what we're about. And so anyway, so I kind of threw that idea out there. If we're going to do this, let's do it together. And they were like, heck yeah, this is great. Let's do it. And so we built out this organization, and we now have, you know, 60 agents.
In okay. And it feels like Barry and Monica are also kind of that same mindset that, you know, you can have a very healthy business and you can mentor, but kind of that the importance of what you want out of life and allowing your business to work around that aspect, as opposed to making your life try to wrap around what you want out of your business.
Yes. So for a long time, real estate is a lifestyle. You know,
agreed.
And I always told people, I said, I don't have a job. I have a lifestyle. And I meant it. And it's true. If you're going to be a good real estate agent, you have to make it part of your lifestyle. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. I mean, I loved it for a long time and it provided a ton of financial opportunity. So it's okay to make it part of your lifestyle. I just realized at one point that, I wanted to build my life and plug my work into my life, as opposed to plugging my life into my work. So it was a different phase. It was a different stage of my life. And so there's younger agents who are like, I just need to make money. I'm like, boom, let's go. Like, let's get after it. You know, you gotta eat, sleep and breathe it for a little bit. And then when you get it up and running, you have choice.
So what does business Dan look like now? What does a day in your life look like?
So I know we got to wrap it up here pretty soon, but, this is a whole nother.
Oh no, launch.
But, even after I made this switch over to EXP, there's been a lot of transition and it's exhausting. Right. And I am a master of like, oh, there's an opening. Let's stuff it with something. You know what I mean? Oh, I have a second to think or breathe. Screw that.
Let's do that.
Let's go do something. So I just, my schedule was so packed that, I got burned out even just kind of getting things up and running. Cause I was just, I just had too much going on. And so I actually went to my wife one day and I said, hey, you know, we could sell everything we own and move to Costa Rica and retire like right now.
It's not a terrible idea. Just throwing that out there.
Right. Like right now. And she was like, okay. what if we, just visited first? And I was like, okay.
So you hadn't been to Costa Rica
yet.
Oh,
no, no.
Yeah, you know.
No. I had a
still
friend.
Still not a bad choice.
Right. I had a friend that moved down there, and I'm like, well, if he can do it, I can do it. But so anyway, we ended up going down there for 5 weeks from the end of May of this year to the beginning of July. Spent a little over 5 weeks down there, and it was just absolutely amazing. We stayed at my buddy's motel that he bought. It was half renovated, you know, no hot water. Like it was awesome. You know, it was awesome. There was just nothing to do. You just relaxed, and all of these layers just started peeling off. It was shocking how long it took me for my nervous system to calm down.
I bet. Yeah.
I was just so like amped all the time. Right. And so it took a while for my nervous system to calm down. But, so all of that to say, when I came back from Costa Rica, what I have learned is that, I can actually still produce and create and not have to pack my schedule with everything. And it comes from simplification. So,
agreed.
I put my most recent book that I'm working on, I put it on the back burner. It's not going in the trash. It's just going on the back burner. I asked my son, would you be okay if I stopped coaching your team and I'll just coach you one-on-one for basketball? And he was like, hell yeah, that sounds great. Sweet.
He's 13 now?
12.
Okay.
Yeah. And so, so I've got 10 other examples of that exact same process taking place in my life. And now I've got a single pointed focus, build and support the team. That's it.
Okay.
And so I don't have to worry about all the other stuff. And so a day in the life now, I was just thinking about this today. I'm like, man, you know, the last couple of weeks have been fairly busy for me. But I look at how busy these last couple of weeks are compared to what I've been doing for the last 15 years. And I'm like, it's child's play.
Yeah.
I wake up at 6:20, 6:30, usually grab a cup of coffee or drink some cacao or whatever we're talking about.
Oh, yeah.
Do my meditation, do a little yoga or stretch routine or whatever. Hang outside for a little bit, get some sun on my face, hang out with my kids. Sometimes I'll take them to school. I usually don't even, you know, get my day really started until 9:30 or so. And then I've got a few appointments throughout the day, and I've been really intentional about creating space. And in fact, on October 25th of this year, me, Monica, and Barry are hosting a really big event for real estate agents called the Back to Basics Bootcamp. And at that event, I'm going to be talking about this concept of creating space and how important it is for our mental well-being, our emotional well-being. It opens up the doorway for creativity, and it gives us it just allows our body to like decompress on a daily basis, on a regular basis, and makes us more effective in our life and in our business. And so my day is really, the pace of my day is really, really, really slowed down, but I'm still making stuff happen. And so,
And I'd imagine more efficient about it.
Right. Because I'm not doing 1,000 things.
Right. Right.
I'm doing one thing, and I'm doing it, you know, I'm very focused.
Extremely well.
Right. Yeah.
So what has you, and you've spoken to a lot of it, but talk to me about something that has you jazzed right now. And I'm sure that event on October 25th is one of them, but what's something that's I just really got you amped up.
Yeah. Honestly, the 25th is one of them, you know, because ultimately my goal is to be a speaker. Right. And so this will be the biggest audience that I've ever spoke to. It'll be 150, 200 people. So I'm really excited about that. But I'm also really excited just about what's going on with our team, with Dan's home team, with the SAC, the Super Agent Collaborative, you know, how fast we're growing, but not just growing with anyone, like we're growing with really good people. And that to me is like, it's so exciting. Like I've got so many great people that I get to work with every day and, that are just full of energy and life and ideas. And, man, I just can't wait to see what the next 3 years have in store, man. Like
I love
I think this is going to be one of those times that I look back on in my life and just like, oh, I wish I could ride that ride again.
Heck yeah.
You know?
Heck yeah. Well, I like that. I think that, and not just our industry, but I think it's very easy to, you talked about filling time. It's also easy to fill a room. Mm-hmm. You can recruit anybody or you could allow anyone to join a tribe and really affect that tribe positively or negatively. So to know that you're growing with the right people and connecting with the right people has to be extremely empowering.
It is. It is. Yeah. People are everything. Community is everything. And I feel like one thing that I had been missing my entire career, I had people that I could go to ask help from, but I never really felt like I was part of a community. And I think that that's part of why that's so important to me, you know, why collaboration is in our team name, is because I recognize, and Barry and Monica and all the people that are part of our team, I think recognize that collaboration is huge. It's so important. And, it not only makes us more effective, but it makes it a heck of a lot more fun, you know? So like, you know, literally for the first time ever, Jimmy, I mean, like it's been, for the first time ever, like I am, I'm loving what I'm doing.
So you're having fun.
I'm having fun. Yeah. And I don't feel overwhelmed. I don't feel like I'm getting beat down. Like I still have my days where I'm like, good God, you know, that was a tough day. Right. But man, it's just, something's different, you know?
And, I believe that.
It's really exciting.
Yeah. You know, there's a point in our careers where you'll run into somebody who's still selling real estate, you know, into their 50s, 60s, 70s. And you're like, you ever think of like calling it quits? I'm like, I love this shit, you know, and you can see it that they genuinely do. And some of them find it sooner. Talk to me about, the relationship you talked about your son and having the conversation with him about coaching. You mentioned earlier that the comment that your daughter made that night, getting up from the dinner table. Talk to me about, her and the connection you have with your daughter now as you've also made this transition and, you know, the having more time with the kiddos.
Well, first of all, 5 weeks in Costa Rica in a hotel that is half renovated, where you get, I mean, like you, yes.
Did she hate you for not having hot water? I can't imagine.
Man, they were so good. The kids did so good, but I'll never forget when we first pulled up to that place and it was just like, oh shit.
What have I done? You know? We're not moving here.
Right. But man, we came back as a unit, like we came back as a team, and that was a launch pad for it. Just things will never be the same, you know? And then you tie into that, you know, I've actually got to go pick her up here soon from school. I never did that. It was always Allison's job. You go pick up the kids. I'm busy working. I've started cooking dinner. We bought that flat top right behind you that nobody can see.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, I want to cook more. Mm-hmm. So we bought that after we came back from Costa Rica because I want to cook more, you know, because I love cooking. I let it go.
Your eyes are wide open.
Yeah. And so my relationship with my kids is growing and changing and so much more fun. I'm so much more connected, man. I'm doing one-on-one basketball with my son now. And he's told me countless times. I'm going to give all the dads out there a little bit of advice that was given to me when I was in Costa Rica. I was talking with a very high level, executive leadership coach. And I just happened to get connected with him through a friend. And this guy is super cool and offered up his time for free. I was so grateful. And, one of the things that he told me, I was really struggling with this basketball thing. I'm a basketball coach. I've got to coach my son's team. Yeah. And he's like, well, have you ever thought that maybe that's a bunch of bullshit? And maybe you don't. You know, and he basically what he said was, you know, your son doesn't care about whether you're coaching his team. What he cares about is, are you with him?
Yeah.
You can be with him whether you're coaching, you can be with him whether you're on the sidelines, you can be with him one-on-one. You know, you can serve all that energy that you're using on coaching and just give it to him. And he'll remember that more than he will that you are the coach on his basketball team. And I was like, thank you. Like he gave me permission to like, let that go and just be a dad. And my son he says it almost on a daily basis. Dad, I love playing basketball with you. He's like, it is my favorite time of the day. I look forward to it every single day. Like he tells me almost on a daily basis. I'm just like, I don't know that there's a better compliment in the world. You know what I mean?
I don't think there is.
Yeah. Yeah. So, man, things are really beginning to shift. And one other piece of advice that I'd love to give to any of the people that are listening to this is, simplicity is key, man, there's so much that we say that we have to do, and it's just not true. There's a very few things that maybe we need to do if we want a certain result, but we tend to over leverage ourselves. We tend to put too many things on our plate that actually really aren't that important. And then the things that we really care about begin to suffer. So the more that we can simplify and get really, really, really focused on the small few, in my experience, the more I enjoy life, the better my relationships are. And I still feel like I'm very effective on my career path as
100%.
Well.
100%. Yeah. I love it. Dan, I got an interesting one to wrap up with for you. So, and I love asking this of parents, and I think your answer is going to be really good. I just feel it. Certainly there are qualities, personality traits of yours that your kids take on. If, as they get older, if you could magically assure that your kids took on one of your qualities, what quality would that be?
So one of the lessons that my dad instilled in me from a very young age, I remember, if anybody's a Colorado native, there was a lumberyard called Hugh M. Woods.
Oh yeah.
And
oh,
yeah. I remember standing in front of a bunk of wood and we were pulling it down to build a deck at his house. I told him I had gotten through maybe like half of the football season my freshman year. And I was like, Dad, football sucks, man. Like, like it's hot and my arms are all jacked up. My fingers are smashed. I don't know if I want to keep playing. And he was like, listen, you made a commitment to that team. You are going to hold that commitment until the season is over. If you don't want to play next year, fine. But there's no way you're quitting in the middle of the season. And I was like, okay, that's a valid point. And that's a lesson that stuck with me, holding to your word. Yeah. And so if there's one thing that my kids do, if I could implant anything, it would be hold your word. Don't say it unless you mean it. And think about what you say before you say it, because once you say it, you need to hold your word for it, man. I want them to live the kind of life where they don't need a contract. You know, it's as good as their word is as good as anything.
That's good. That's good. Dan, thank you so much for taking the time.
Thank you.
To chat with me today and share your story.
Yeah.
Appreciate you very much.
Thank you. I didn't know that was the direction that this was all going to go, but it was fun.
We can dive in. I know we dive into the business aspect so much, but to hear kind of the mindset folks have. Anything else? I mean, certainly don't want to cut you off. Anything else you want to share today?
Not at all, man. I mean, if anybody's interested in getting in touch with me, you can always email me at danielgomer1@gmail.com, dangomer.com, danshometeam.com. Easy to get a hold of me. I'm happy to talk with anybody about this kind of stuff because, mindset is everything in our industry and we need people in our corner who I believe that mindset's the foundation. So we need more people talking about 100%. Mindset and about how we're operating versus the tools that we're leveraging and things like that. And so if there's anybody out there that's kind of struggling with that, like, okay, I got to figure out what's going on, but I'm not sure what the problem is. Like, reach out. Let's open up a conversation. I'm happy to help however I can. So
absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Dan's information will be in the comments and the details below. Great story. Great man, Dan Gomer, EXP Realty, Dan's Homes here in Denver, Colorado. This is Mindset Matters. I am your host, Jimmy Everetts. Until I hear you next time. Peace. We'll be right back.